This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The House joined the Senate in passing the $2.2 trillion Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, known as CARES, with key help for hurting producers. Help is finally on the way after the House rejected a last-minute procedural move by one GOP objector to force a roll call instead of a voice vote on the hugely expensive bill. Agriculture and rural communities are among the many beneficiaries of the unprecedented CARES Act. Billions will now go to ensure farm bill programs are carried out, while livestock and crop producers, rural businesses, as well as hospitals and healthcare workers get help dealing with coronavirus. Illinois Democrat Cherry Bustos.
Our farmers are worried sick about what is ahead this year, not only because of this worldwide pandemic, but also because of the threats of more flooding.
The CARES Act provides close to $15 billion to replenish CCC funds, the key to implementing 2018 Farm Bill programs, and $9.5 billion for livestock operators, food safety inspectors, specialty crop producers, and direct retail farmers. Washington State Republican Dan Newhouse.
It will support the agricultural industry to ensure hardworking farmers and ranchers can continue to provide food security for our nation.
The CARES Act also helps rural communities with aid for telemedicine, broadband, and business and industry loans and grants. There's also more for food stamps, child nutrition, schools, and food banks, as well as hundreds of billions in checks for individuals and families, including months of jobless benefits. Separately, the State Department eased restrictions on H-2A and H-2B applications for farm workers in Mexico, addressing U.S. agricultural concerns of a possible farm worker shortage at a critical planting time taking place during the deadly coronavirus pandemic. In other ag news here on your Monday, USDA's Farm Service Agency county offices are open only by a phone appointment until further notice because of the COVID-19 outbreak. FSA staff are available to continue helping agricultural producers with program signups, loan servicing, and other important actions. Also, the FSA is relaxing the loan-making process and adding flexibilities for servicing direct and guaranteed loans to provide credit to producers in need. Program delivery staff will continue to come to the FSA office, but they'll work with producers by phone and other online tools whenever possible. Quote, FSA programs and loans are critical to America's farmers and ranchers, and we want to continue our work with customers while taking precautionary measures to help prevent the spread of coronavirus, says FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce. Quote, we recognize that farm loans are critical for annual operating and family living expenses, as well as emergency needs and cash flow through times like this. FSA is working to find and use every option and flexibility to provide producers with credit options and other program benefits. USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue and his agency has accepted over 3.4 million acres into the General Conservation Reserve Program signup that recently wrapped up. It's the first general signup for enrollments since 2016. County offices will begin to notify producers with accepted acres no later than April 3rd. Quote, the Conservation Reserve Program is one of our nation's largest conservation endeavors, and it is critical in helping producers benefit and better manage their operations while conserving valuable natural resources, Perdue says. Quote, the program celebrates its 35th anniversary this year, and we're quite pleased to see one of the largest signups in many years. For the past 3.5 decades, CRP has addressed multiple concerns while ensuring the most competitive offers are selected by protecting fragile and environmentally sensitive land, improving water quality, enhancing wildlife population, providing pollinator forage habitat, sequestering carbon in soil, and enhancing soil productivity. 75% of the nation's land is privately owned, and America's farmers and ranchers have stepped up to the plate to protect the environment and natural resources through this program. Farmers and ranchers get an annual rental payment for establishing a long-term, resource-conserving plant species, such as an approved grass or tree, to help control soil erosion, improve water quality, and enhance wildlife habitat, on cropland. Moving on now to crop news here on your Monday morning. U.S. fuel ethanol producer and refiner Valero is shutting down two of its ethanol plants, one in Nebraska and the other in Iowa. They're also declaring force majeure on shipments for dry distillers' grains for corn purchases, which means they won't be able to meet contracted demand because of unforeseeable conditions. The force majeure is because of a lack of storage availability for corn or ethanol as demand for fuel drops and storage remains limited due to excess supply. The coronavirus outbreak is causing Americans to drive considerably less than usual, so the low demand and excess supply are forcing Valero to close plants in Albion, Nebraska, and Albert City, Iowa. An independent Commodity Intelligence Services website article says the supply of fuel ethanol remains ample, while some producers are switching to industrial ethanol production as demand from that sector continues to climb. The state of the summer driving season is also uncertain at this point, which is limiting fuel demand. The peak demand for fuel ethanol is during the summer. Fuel ethanol demand is almost cut in half as the people who account for 45% of the overall demand are currently on stay-at-home orders here in the U.S., with those orders' numbers continuing to climb. And moving on into other crop news, it looks like U.S. farmers are upping the number of corn acres going into the ground during spring planting. The newest Farm Futures survey shows that farmers will plant 96.4 million acres of corn during the 2020 planting season. That's the second highest number of intended acres after farmers put in a record 97.3 million acres of corn into the ground during 2012. The Farm Futures numbers is more than 2 million acres higher than the most recent USDA projection in February of 94 million acres. Farm Futures points out that a lot of things have changed between those two forecasts. The coronavirus pandemic hit, upending the global economy, and the increased economic uncertainty, historically cheap input cost, as well as weaker soybean demand from China, all appear to have made corn the optimal choice among somewhat limited options for Midwest farmers. Farm Futures estimates that soybean plantings will total 82.7 million acres, almost 3 million less than the USDA estimated of 85 million, which also came out in February. The survey estimates that farmers will plant 45.8 million acres of wheat, higher than the USDA's estimate of 45.0, and Farm Futures also estimates that farmers will plant 11.7 million acres of cotton in the South, less than the USDA's estimate of 12.5 million. And continuing in crop news here on your Monday, Minnesota corn farmers still have a good number of 2019's crop left to harvest, even as the 2020 planting season gets closer. Chad Smith has more.
Todd Bjorgaard farms near New Folden, located in northwest Minnesota, and says they still have a lot of corn to do in his area.
I'm not a big corn producer. We have 260 acres, and we didn't do any last fall because we were 25, 28 moisture and low test weight, under 50 pounds. So we had a product that didn't pay to harvest. So I would say up here, very little corn was done last fall. There's been quite a bit come off the last 2 weeks up here now, and there's still a fair amount in the field. I know there's a couple other neighbors that haven't started on theirs yet either.
Bjorgaard says corn that sat through the winter seemed to dry out and gain some test weight as long as it was able to fully mature last fall.
What I've been hearing is most of it has gained 2 to 3 pounds over winter as it's dried naturally in the field, if it had black layered. But then there's some corn varieties that didn't change over winter. You know, if they hadn't fully matured, hadn't black layered, there's still some that's under 50 pounds. Talking to the elevator manager here in town.
Blair Hoseth farms near Monoman in west central Minnesota and says many farmers had to leave their corn out in the field through the winter because of high moisture and low test weight.
I'm not saying all the corn was in the mid-40s, but there was plenty of corn 47-pound test weight last fall in this area in 25 to 30 moisture. I'm sure that that's why a lot of people left it in the field, because if they would take it, it would have been such a big discount. So, you know, I'd say three, four. 3/4 of the corn got left in the field last fall. We've been combining pretty hard now. I'd say half of what was in the field has been taken off now this spring.
Josef has been combining his leftover corn since last week and says it's remarkable how much that corn lost in moisture and gained in test weights out in the fields through the winter.
I was just at the elevator yesterday with a fresh load. I started combining Monday, and it's around 16 moisture, and everybody's is very close to the same, the elevator manager told me, kind of in that 15.5 to 16.5 is what they've been seeing, and the test weight is 53 to 54-pound test weight now.
Josef says it's not the first time they've had to leave corn in the fields through the winter, and this is typical of the results they've seen in previous years as far as drying down and gaining test weight. Chad Smith reporting.
And panic buying and hoarding supplies is pushing wholesale egg prices in the Midwest to their all-time high. The Des Moines Register says prices for other staples like milk, beef, and even ice cream have gone higher as well. Joe Kearns is president of an agricultural consulting company in Ames, Iowa, who says the Midwest isn't short on supply. It's abnormally high demand that's causing the jump in prices. Because of the uncertainty surrounding the coronavirus outbreak, consumers in Iowa, Illinois, and all across the U.S. are piling way more than usual amounts of groceries in their shopping carts. That unusually high demand level is causing prices to go higher. Kearns says it's not a surprise because as restaurants' dining rooms are closed, more people are cooking at home. Some grocers are seeing as much as 6 times the normal demand for eggs, which is temporarily clearing out shelves. Processors are also struggling to fill orders that are coming in at a rapid pace. Stores in Iowa and all across the country say they're seeing an increased price from their suppliers as they keep working to make sure their shelves stay filled with those staple products. Moving on now to State of Illinois Ag News here on your Monday morning. Above normal temperatures could be in play for the spring and summer months across the state. That's the assessment from state climatologist Trent Ford.
Yeah, so across the board, outlooks for temperature are good as far as drying the soil are concerned. So pretty much all the way from the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day short-term outlooks all the way through the long-term June, July, and August outlooks, we're showing elevated odds of above normal temperatures across the state. So warmer than normal conditions, of course, as we move outward in time, those probabilities get weaker as our uncertainty gets higher, but especially on the short term for the rest of this month into the first part of April, the probabilities are pretty strong for above normal temperatures, and that will help evaporate some of that moisture out of the soil as long as we don't see a lot of precipitation between then and now. So for the short-term outlooks, the next the 8 to 14-day outlooks from the Climate Prediction Center actually show elevated odds of below normal precipitation across the state, which is good to see. If we can get an extended period of time, 7 to 10 days, where we get warm temperatures and below normal precipitation, if not any precipitation, then that can definitely help kind of build in that capacity for soils. Looking farther out, the 30-day outlooks for April and then looking further out into May and June are all showing elevated odds of wetter than normal conditions across the state. Again, those aren't necessarily locked in, but if we don't build in that capacity in the soil to try to take in some of that moisture, we will see issues related to standing water in fields come mid-April into early May.
And with warmer temperatures recently and in the coming future, folks might want to head outside to avoid a bit of that cabin fever effect during the current coronavirus stay-in-place order. But the IDNR would like you to know that state parks and lakes continue to be closed to the public as Illinois officials continue to push social distancing to help slow the spread of coronavirus. Department of Natural Resources Conservation Police Sergeant John Williamson says they are finding hunters and fishermen are, in some cases, still unaware of the decree by Governor Pritzker that lakes and parks are still closed.
Probably the hardest thing for us to deal with right now is that people will say, oh, well, I've heard they've opened. So they'll come out here, they'll walk right past the signs and things and start fishing or move our barricades and drive on into the middle of the park and know that when, trust us, when immediately as that we can, if the order's opened, that the parks are open, we will remove all the barricades, we'll remove all the signs, and everything will be good. But until you see those barricades moved, until you see those signs moved, you need to stay out. The other one that kind of came around that you guys mentioned was that somebody used our DNR Facebook page banner and put that all 2000 and 2021 hunting seasons were closed, and that caused quite the stir, which is completely false. Once everything opens up as far as state property, state property open to fishing and hunting.
The department has seen an isolated incident of false information circulating on social media posting as though it is coming from the IDNR. He indicates the best place to find the latest and accurate information is at the IDNR's website, dnr.illinois.gov. And in local news here on your Monday, Doug Turnaugh, manager of the United Producers Sale Barn in Shelbyville, has said that their feeder cattle special sale for tomorrow is still on, and their cow special for next Tuesday is still on. That'll be held again next Tuesday, April 7th. They only request that at this time the stands at the auction be limited to bidders only. And again, their feeder cattle special in Shelbyville for tomorrow is still on, as well as their cow special. That'll be held next Tuesday, April 7th. And in one last note from around the local area, due to the circumstances involving the COVID-19 outbreak and the order to shelter in place through the 7th, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is sorry to announce that they have to postpone their spring fish sale, which was scheduled for April 7th. Office staff hopes to be able to reschedule for later in the spring or begin making plans to hold their sale in the fall as planned. Refunds will be made to those who have already submitted their orders and payments. Staff members apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. The Soil and Water Conservation District Board of Directors in Montgomery County, along with their staff, thanks you for your continued support of the Soil and Water Conservation District and its programs. Anyone with questions is asked to call the office in Hillsboro at 532-3361, extension 3. And that concludes your Ag News here for a Monday morning. But remember, if you have any Ag News for us, that can be emailed to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, March 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.